I don't think I was even out of the car, and I got yelled at by the UPS guy going by, so I've been harassed, I think, ever since I showed up tonight. But I guess that's normal. I've got some stories I could tell about Kenny, but I guess I better hold those back. I do appreciate you letting me be here tonight. I have not been involved in a Wednesday night series in quite a while, but I do appreciate this. And we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. And we're going to talk about remembering. And as I thought about being here and so on and so forth, I remember being about 6 years old and being here. I remember the classes downstairs in the basement. I can remember being in there. I can remember some of the students that were with me. And so memory is certainly a great thing. And tonight, as I share some thoughts with you about the Lord's Supper, that's kind of what we're going to do. I looked up the word memory in Webster's dictionary. Still use that some. I do Google, but, you know, us old people, Webster's still kind of the standard. But memory is defined, among the things it said, things learned and kept in mind. Things that we've learned and that we retain, that we keep, that for whatever reason we hold precious. If you will, turn to Mark chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 12. We're going to look at several of these verses. We probably won't have time to read the entire passage. But I do want to share some things from that. And the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said to him, "Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And you know that he sends some out, and he gives them instructions to go here, talk to a man, and this, that, and other. And of course, as they go and do that, everything falls in place just like he said. I think we sometimes wonder why the apostles, the disciples, why they did not recognize what was going on. Do we sometimes sort of think that they were just, it was wrong that they couldn't see what was taking place? Would we have? Had we been with Jesus, had we been there and we saw the miracles and heard the parables and all that took place, would we just automatically have said, "Oh, he is the Son of God, we understand everything"? I doubt it. So as we see that these men have done this, let me back up a step. We're talking about this memorial feast that we have. Luke chapter 22, verse 19, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The words are right here on this table. Remember me. How many different things in your life can you think of that are memorials? We go to a cemetery and we have a foot marker or the headstone. In our different parts of life, we have statues, we have awards, we have scholarships, we have programs, we have all kinds of things that are done in memory of someone. We even celebrate Memorial Day in our country, where we try to remember those men and women, honor them for the sacrifice that they've made to keep our country great. Washington, D.C. is full of memorials. Kathy already knows, if I ever run away from home, I'll be in Washington, D.C. I like to look at the memorials. I love visiting those places. And so we understand about memorials. We understand about holding on to something. And remember, I told you, something that we keep in mind, something that's special to us. So this memorial feast, the Lord's Supper. Now, this celebration, this time we come together to remember what he did, it should be near and dear to the Christian's heart. But we don't have a marker or a statue. I guess the closest thing, Da Vinci had he did a painting back in about the 15th century to give us some idea of what it must have been like, what it would have looked like. And it would be certainly different than what you and I would do today about eating supper or having a meal. But that photograph, that painting, I should say, comes into mind. So here we have Jesus and the disciples preparing for a meal that we will know and understand as the Last Supper. Let's go to verse 13. Go into the city, and there you shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, the master says, where is thy guest chamber? Where shall I eat the Passover feast with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came to the city and found as he had said to them, and they made ready the Passover. And in verse 17, in the evening he cometh with the 12. So we have all this this setup. And again, I think sometimes we wonder why the apostles, why the disciples did not just totally understand and pick up on what he was doing. Verse 17, it says, and in the evening he came with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eats with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? What do you think that must have been like? They loved him. They had followed him. They had given up a lot. Actually, we know that 11 of them truly loved him, and one is going to be different. But they all began to question, is it me? Lord, is it going to be me? When we come together on Sunday mornings for the Lord's Supper, when we commemorate his death, burial, and resurrection, when we think about him on the cross, when we go through what we call the Lord's Supper, what if he looked down upon a congregation and he said, somebody in here is not right? Would we question, Lord, is it me? Are we living our life where we would really think that it's me? Are we living our life in such a way that maybe during the week, the things I do, the things I say? Now, some of my students will know this, remember it, and mother's going to have a fit, but I remember as a teenager, some preacher came through and he said, what if we can pull a screen down and everything that you've said this week and everything you've thought can be shown on the screen? I like to pass out in the classroom. Can they do that? I thought, my mama will be in there. And I guess we do in our human relationships, we wonder sometimes about that and how people think about us. But what about God? What about Jesus? What's he thinking? He does know everything I've said this week. He does know everything that I have thought this week. Lord, is it I? Lord, am I the one guilty? Lord, in this whole group of people, am I the one that I've offended you this week and I'm not what I'm supposed to be? You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26 through 29 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. not discerning the Lord's body. What if the Lord somehow would stop us right in the middle of the Lord's Supper and say, there's someone in here who is really betraying me? Well, I would stop and think, well, I haven't done that. I have not gone out and really just said bad things about Jesus. I really haven't betrayed him. I didn't kiss him, turn him over to the authorities. But, you know, if I wear the name Christian, I'm telling everyone that I'm trying to do everything Jesus said to do. And when I fail to do that, in that sense, I have betrayed him. None of us are perfect. None of us can live that perfect life. We know that. But it's all about our attitude. It's about what we want to do. It's how we go about it. And are we really trying? Are we walking in the light as he is in the light? That makes the difference. Sometimes we just do less than we're supposed to do. Sometimes we just fail to be the Christian that we ought to be. I'm going to run out of time. I knew that. We'll skip to 20 and 12. Let's don't do that because that's where he's telling them that one of you is going to betray me. So let's move on. I want to talk about three people real quick. We know Judas was there. And we know that Judas decided that money was more important than Jesus. We know that Judas put money ahead of the Lord. And so we also know he's going to be the one to betray. But how many times have we put something in front of the Lord? How many times we've just decided that, well, the Lord's nice and he's good and we're going to follow him. I'm going to follow him most of the time, but right now I want to do this. How many of us are guilty of that? How many times have we done something along that line? Of putting whatever, maybe it's some whatever, I don't know, I don't want to go there. But we put that in front of Jesus. What about Peter? He's always been an interesting study. He's like us. He wants to do good. Every time we see him, he's wanting to do good. He's the one that holds his hand up and says, I'll do it for you, Lord. Okay, it's me. Let me lead the parade. I'm for you. And then what does he do? Time after time, Peter's the one messing up. Is that not us? Have you ever felt that way? I sure have. I want to do a good job as a Christian. I want to be a good example. I want to be a good role model to other people, especially young people that I deal with all the time. I want to do what's right, but sometimes I just get it wrong. That's Peter. I think Peter'd fit right in. In our society, we might not even know who he is. He'd just come right in. He'd be one of us. What about John? Eventually, John will be the one that Jesus says to him, take care of my mother. He thought so much of John. He had so much love for John, and John had love for him, that Jesus said, would you take care of my mother? So you see, we've got different people here at this Lord's Supper in this room. We've got different thoughts. We've got different feelings. We've got different objectives, I suppose. And that'd be a lot like us when we come together for the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it's hard for us to turn off all that's going on in our life. When we're really supposed to be remembering him, we're really thinking about other things. Remember what we said? That our memory was things that we've learned and that we've kept in our mind, that we're holding on to, that we believe or is just very, very important. Do you think, and this would really, I think, would be good in a class setting instead of what we're doing tonight, but I would like to ask each one of you, and I can't do it, we don't have time, but I wonder, what do you think that the disciples were thinking? What was going on in their mind? Do you think any of them teared up? You think any of them, you started crying? Maybe some of them thought, well, maybe I did do something wrong. Maybe, have I betrayed him? And they're trying to think through it. And you know, I wonder what all was going on with each and every person that was there. I wonder on Sunday mornings, what's going on in the minds of all the people here in the auditorium when we have the Lord's Supper? Sometimes it's hard for us just to truly concentrate on things. I know that. And sometimes we don't feel good. We've got a lot of things taking place. Well, I'm going to have to just move on. So Jesus sets up this memorial feast. He knew his time is almost gone. They don't know that. And so they think that this is just another lesson. This is just something else he's doing. They have no clue that within hours, they really do have to start trying to remember the things he's taught them. He said, take and eat. This is my body. And he said, drink. This is the blood. If you had been there, if I'd been there, I wonder what we'd be thinking. What's he talking about? What's he telling us about remembering his body and the blood? Of course, he had told them. Do you think they understood? Would we? Do we examine ourselves? Lord, is it I? Is there something getting in our way like Judas had? Is there something that just sort of, you know, sometimes I talk with the young people and we talk about Adam and Eve. They just had one thing they couldn't do. Don't eat of that tree. If I just had one thing not to do, I could. Be careful. Judas loved money. We understand about money. You got to have money. Do we let it get out of control? Do we let it get too important, too much out of place? Do you want to do what's right, but you seem like you always mess it up like Peter did? Now, some fella said this, Austin. It's never right to do the wrong thing. And it's never wrong to do the right thing. If you don't understand that, get with me. I'll tell you about it. Would Jesus have entrusted you with his mother? Would he love you enough? Did you love him enough? Did he see that quality in you that you would take care of his mother? Certainly there were other people there and other identities and characteristics and traits, but I picked those three. I'm not saying that we're one of those three, but we need to examine ourselves when we come together for the Lord's Supper. He says, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I did for you. And sometimes I think maybe we feel a little guilty. Sometimes I think maybe we realize we just not quite doing what we should. So I challenge you. How do you prepare for the Lord's Supper? When it comes that time every week, when there's this time to remember Jesus and what he did, has it just become commonplace? And I'm afraid sometimes with some people, it's just something else we do. That it's nothing really special, it's just part of what we do. I know when we changed the communion from at the end of the service to the early part of the service at Jackson Heights, our youngest was about 4 years old, and he said, we're not having preaching today. Everything becomes so routine sometimes in what we do. I challenge each of us to pause a little bit longer, to think a little bit deeper, to remember what we've learned and we've kept hold of about the love of Jesus and the importance of gathering around his table. You know, at some point in time, you and I will partake of the Lord's Supper for the last time. I wouldn't want that last time that I ever was supposed to remember the Lord and what he did for me. I wouldn't want that time to be one that I wasn't in the right frame of mind, that I had done and said some things I shouldn't. I would hope that that last time, and I don't know when that's going to be, but I would hope that the last time I observe the Lord's Supper with my Christian friends and in the presence of God, I would hope that I was in the right relationship with the Lord. And that's what I'm asking you to do also. This is not really a sermon, a deep sermon about sin and everything, but there may be somebody here. There may be someone who believes that I need to pick it up a notch or two. I need to straighten it up a little bit. Now, a lot of those things, you, your own person, that's for you to take care of, but do you know what? There's a lot of strength. There's a lot of folks here. I got picked on coming in. I loved it. But you know, these same folks, if I said I needed you, I needed help, I needed prayer, I don't doubt that I would receive it from everyone. Tonight there may be something that's bothering you. There may be something on your heart. There may be something keeping you from really observing the Lord's Supper in a way. Early Corinthians said to examine yourself. Tonight, if you need prayer, if you need assistance for anything, would you come as we stand to sing?